Second hour here on this Thursday, rolling right along. Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick and Chase McCabe. Let's talk a little Texans with our buddy Sean Salisbury, who's down in Houston. His show is on Sports Talk 790 down there. Does a great job, former quarterback. We always enjoy our chats with him. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you?
Thanks for doing this, as always.
No problem.
How close or was it to actually something happening before the trade deadline with Deshaun Watson?
Oh, I think that, you know, insiders will tell you that it was, oh, it was imminent and it was going to happen before the deadline, but I don't think people were willing to take the risk for the price. So I don't think it was, I don't think there was an offer on the table that said, hey, man, take this, and somebody backed out in the 11th hour. This wasn't an 11th hour deal. I think it was pretty, it was, and I mean, the speculation constantly because of the wants that the Texans had, and the panic, or should I say, the people start to say, well, we're starting to worry about our team, and is it Carolina or is it Miami? If they were that desperate, they would have pulled it off. I think that they're just in a position, they say the risk didn't meet the reward under the circumstances because of the legal stuff. Obviously, if there was no legal, this would have been done a long time ago. But because of the legal and waiting and the fact that Deshaun still holds the power over who he gets traded to, can limit teams because there may be some he doesn't want to go to. But at some point, he's going to have to take the, you know, they're going to get the best offer, and he's either going to want to play football or not. So I don't think it was 11 hour. There's no doubt the teams, I know for a fact the teams sent legal people to Houston to do their due diligence and to find out where it was going. And there are some that believe that it's going to stay civil, but some not willing to take the risk. Civil meaning the civil, it's not going to be any criminal charges, but there are some that still question if there will be. So this will be an off-season deal. He'll be traded at some point, probably in March, and they'll go from there. But it wasn't one of those that it was about to happen, that it just somebody debunked it at the last second. I just think there was too much legal issue and too much risk for the big reward that he's going to offer on the field when he gets there. But right now, they want three ones and two twos and another player, and they weren't willing to come off that as well. I'm sure somebody came in a little lower, but there was no deal imminent at the 11th hour.
Interesting. Do you think the position you played is going to have another gigantic shuffle again this offseason like it did two off-seasons ago when Brady went to Tampa and Rivers went to Indianapolis? I mean, you know the shuffle. I don't need to tell you. Do you think we're in for that again? Do you think Russell Wilson, this marriage could end in Seattle, maybe Aaron Rodgers? Do you think we're going to see that again or no?
I think you're going to hear a lot of banter about it. I'm anxious to see where, and a couple of them, I'm anxious to see what Baker Mayfield's next step is, where he goes this last half of this season. You know, mentally and physically, his body and his mind, he's been beat up, and people are all over him, so there's that. You got to keep an eye on what goes on in Carolina. Is Cam long-term, short-term? Is there a trade involved? Is New Orleans happy fully with Jameis Winston in the future now that he's hurt? Were they pleased with his protection of the football, but they didn't really expand the offense like we thought they were going to before he got hurt, but he was doing a hell of a job. What's going to go on in Denver? Are they looking for a franchise? So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement. And then it gets down to the three big guys. And any time you get the three, the Rodgers, the Wilson, and the Deshaun Watson, one of them makes it a big off season. And then if there's more than one of them that is in that, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of banter about Russell Wilson. It'll still surprise me a little bit if Aaron Rodgers is on the move, because I think they're right now playing about as good as anybody, and their defense has stepped up, but maybe he wants to finish somewhere else. But there will be, from the time this season ends till draft and trade time, you know, that March, April time, there's going to be a lot of talk. I don't know if there'll be as much movement, but there's going to be quite a bit of it because teams are going to get desperate. Miami in their situation, are they going to get involved? And if one moves, let's say Philadelphia, and they jump in on the Watson and he approves the trade, well, then what the heck are you going to do if you're, you know, with Jalen Hurts, and then you move him, and then the draft class isn't very good right now at the top this year. So a lot of these moving pieces, and are you, if you're Atlanta, do you want to? You got a lot of money to pay Matt Ryan. Is that somebody you're going to jump on, or do you try to jump in and trade? Garoppolo is going to be available. Mm-hmm. You don't draft a guy and trade two number ones for him. So yes, there's going to be movement with guys that are going to move that are veterans and good players that are going to start somewhere else, and a superstar or two at the position.
I love to pick your brain on quarterbacks. Look, I joke about it on the show all the time. You're the reason that I keep drafting Kyler Murray every year in fantasy football.
There you go.
You brought up Baker Mayfield. And I've been saying, Sean, here lately on the show, because we do a top 10 rankings every week. We've been doing this on the show for a couple of years now. And when we talk about the Browns, I don't know what Baker Mayfield, and I feel like we're experts in this market about whether guys are, you know, franchise quarterbacks or not, and or certain guys are good enough, but you have to constantly prop them up. Mariota was that guy. You know, you just have to constantly keep putting, you know, receivers or tight ends or the offensive line. You're always doing something to try to help them. I feel like Baker Mayfield is that guy as well. Just he needs a lot of help. But I want to know what you think, because your eyes are better than mine when it comes to quarterbacks. Is he legit, or is he a guy that needs constant help?
I think it's a very extremely valid and a hell of a point that not enough people make. I guess I'll die on the hill. I don't want to, but I've been a Baker Mayfield supporter through this. I guess I like that the walk-on mentality, you know, even though he went from a walk-on to the first pick, the Heisman Trophy winner, first pick of the draft, so that kind of pushes that to the wayside now, and he's a star in the league and paid, well, wants to be paid like it. I think I'm leaning more towards your approach to that. I do, and at first I thought, well, man, this guy, first I do know he's changed culture thinking there in Cleveland, or at least he's been a part of it, because there's more swagger.
Yep.
I go on a show in Cleveland every week. It is a very divided. You're not really a fence sitter in that city if you're for Baker Mayfield. There's people who either think he's just a guy and you want him out, or there's others who say, I stand with Baker, he's our guy. Here's the problem with Cleveland is you got to understand if you're going to run him out, who you're replacing him with. Because you have had horrible quarterbacks for two decades. It's been awful. So you better be careful what you wish for. If you run him out of town and decide you don't want him, then where's your commitment? Are you going to try to trade for Deshaun Watson? So I am with you, though. There's a difference between the level of Rodgers, Watson, Wilson, those guys, Herbert, were guys, it appears, that can operate a team and dominate you with no matter what the personnel, that
yep.
carry you and are MVPs no matter who you put in there. They make them better. Now, I do believe Baker Mayfield's made them better, but I also believe he needs Nick Chubb. I believe Jarvis Landry's important. I believe in offensive line. Yes, I don't believe Baker Mayfield is the guy that carries a team along. I believe Baker Mayfield's a really good fit when things are great and he's stacked. And I think he's good regardless. But if you want to, when I talk good, I mean franchise. I don't think that Baker Mayfield could waltz into Carolina or Detroit and make them great. I believe if you put Aaron Rodgers in Detroit and got him three players, they'd probably be in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of guys that can just need a guy that, you know, a warm body said, play good football and I'll get you to certain places. And if we're going to win a Super Bowl, then I'm going to need better players. But yes, I would say that's fair. I would say there's a level, Baker's a level down from Allen and Murray. And so if you're asking me if Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray would be in Cleveland, would they be better? Probably. And I'm a Mayfield supporter and have stood on the hill and yelled and screamed that we quit on the guy but we're in year, what, four now? So it's time for him to elevate when they lose a guy or when a guy's gone. But you're right. I think everything's got to be pretty settled for Baker to be great and to get paid. But it's going to be an interesting offseason if he's going to get paid that $30 million-type dollars a year. I think the next seven games is going to define that for him.
We're speaking with former quarterback Sean Salisbury, Sports Talk 790 down in Houston. Okay, back to your market. Because of the circumstances, this team is not good. Deshaun Watson, they don't have their franchise elite quarterback for the season. This team is going nowhere. Do people down there care, Sean? Are they showing up to games? Are you guys talking about them a lot? What's the care factor, the give-a-crap factor in Houston right now?
None. They'll be the diehard fans. They'll be the diehard fans. But you see empty stands. It is let me just put it to you this. I could go on my show. And I'm not judging that, but you get a pulse and you get a feel for it. We spent 3.5 hours talking about Justin Verlander today.
Wow.
3.5 hours.
Wow.
You know how many times the Texans got mentioned today? You know
Zero?
How many times?
Zero?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Four-hour show?
Wait, 4-hour show, 6 to 10 in the morning. Not once. Not one call. We didn't ask. It's Correa. Where's he going to end up, Verlander, and other topics and stuff. But No, it's not. And when you bring it up, you can only say it so many times, Sal, well, they're doing this wrong, they're doing this wrong, and they're not a good football team. And you try to spin it 8 million ways. There isn't any, because they don't trust the front office. They don't have the quarterback. It's the same thing every week. You could run the press conference on a loop of the loop that constantly goes loop after loop that says, well, you know, we didn't coach well. We got to coach them better. We got to be better. We got to stop turning the ball over. And David Culley's a good man, but David Culley, like a rookie quarterback right now, has been in over his head as a head coach. Really good assistant, well-respected, and I love him as a human being. But he's not – he's got work to do. And this franchise, they just don't have good players. And now they may hang in there. Tyrod may keep him in this game this week for a minute, but they can't sustain it. And they are they make the same mistakes each week. They're not the smartest. I mean, they make a lot of low IQ football decisions. They're rarely on the same page, 11 guys. So the buzz in town, you know, if they start winning, they'll be back. But there's probably I can't fathom there's less buzz. And this is Texas now. I can't fathom there's less buzz in any city, and I'm including Detroit, Jacksonville, anywhere else in the league than they got here.
Wow. Sean Salisbury is with us. So, Sean, let's flip it. Your perspective on the Titans. You know, we're sitting here, you know, in our listening area, riding high at 8-2. Yet, you know, nationally, there's a little hesitancy because the stats aren't so dominating that you're like, hey, this is hands down the best team. They just keep beating these good teams. But what's your thought as they move forward here and they're piecing it together without Derrick Henry?
I think it's a phenomenal story. And I think I think that Mike Vrabel is the coach of the year in the AFC for sure. And it's not just because of the record, but, you know, they lose – Julio's been banged up. They lose Arthur Smith. Downing comes in. You know, we all say, well, man, the combination of Tannehill and Derrick Henry, great play action. Well, you lose the best running back in football. And Tannehill continues to be efficient enough. The defense is ramped up. They're better in the red zone. They're getting after it. They're beating good teams. This isn't fake. Now, the question that everybody has is, well, can they sustain it without Derrick in December and January? Well, until they prove to me they can't, then I say they can't. They're a smart football team, and they're making the plays when necessary. The defense stepping it up is huge. Because good teams always find a way, instead of make the excuse that the guy's out of the building, meaning Derrick Henry's hurt, they do everything they can to say, what an opportunity for us to prove that we're still really good. So while everybody's chattering, well, they can't continue this, they keep knocking people down. They keep knocking pins down. I love the football team. I think they're resilient. I think they're friggin' well-coached. I think that they believe that they're good without having to chatter about it. I think they're getting after it defensively. I like the way they're playing, man. I think they're probably going to have to ramp up the run game and continue to do it. But as long as they can use screens and mix in stuff and the ball's not held, you're not turning it over. They don't need to throw 35 times a game, and they don't need to have those big moments. And they're going to have to get into a shootout at some point. We know that. And then we'll test it. But I have zero reason to believe, other than Derrick Henry being out, that this team's not real. Some teams will make excuses when their players go out and say, yeah, but – this team's making it the other way. Well, he's out, but we're going to find a way to continue this and hope he gets back at the end of the season. I'm fascinated with him, and I don't know why people are reluctant to consider them. Like, people still talk Buffalo, and I understand because they're flashier. Maybe that's another way to put it. There's nothing real flashy about them, and there just isn't. They're a hardcore, knock you in the mouth, make plays when necessary. They've got a quarterback that continues to be underrated in this league that people want to say, well, without Derrick Henry, Tannehill's going to fall off. Well, they keep winning. And as far as I can remember and as long as I've been playing, this dude, winning has always been the number one priority. So you can show me all the stats you want and empty statistics. I'll take a guy that wins. And I'm curious to see when it gets into December and January how they do. I have no reason to believe this is fake. The sustaining part of it, we'll see, but they're on a hell of a run, and teams better take notice.
Sean, one thing we talk about a lot is how you try to manage some of these injuries. They've had their share. I think they're on pace to have a record number of players play. I think the record is 84, and they're already at 82, and you've got 17 games. They haven't had their bye week yet. But let's just take a couple examples. I'm going to throw them at you. With Bud Dupree and Julio Jones, guys who have been trying to fight through stuff all year. There's more of them as well, but what is your what does your instinct tell you? Is it better to do what they did with Julio Jones, shut him down on IR, hopefully he can come back in a few weeks, or try to fight through it week to week when you're not 100%? How do you try to manage this?
I think that's a hell of a question, man, because we all have that. The old school mentality is, hey, can't make the club in the tub, need you to fight. There's a difference, and this is true, between being hurt and being injured. Everybody's hurt. Tannehill don't feel, they'll tell you, oh, I feel good this week. Everybody's beat up. Just when you start to feel a little bit better, you play again, right? So, running backs from day one, once the first day of the season starts, when are they healthy? They're not, right? So it is, I'll tell you, what you do hope, okay, let's say you go into one and this guy's going to fight through a game. And then somebody steps up and plays and you win a game and you say, damn, are we better with that guy at 100% or as close to 100% as can be, or running Julio out there at 72%? Now, listen, that's why scouting and front offices and coaches' decisions and developing players is so important, because the teams with attrition and injuries that have the gap is closed from the ceiling to the floor, closer to the middle between their backup and starter, give you we can't take that middle-class guy for granted. It can't just always be the rich guy. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your stars. As Jerry Burns in Minnesota, he used to call them the big knockers when we played. You know, the big knock, the doorbell knocker. You know, the big knockers, the million-dollar guys, you got to play great. But if you can have that next guy that says, okay, we can survive for a month without the big knockers, without the big bangers doing their thing, Julio or Bud Dupree or, you know, that, then I think you roll with it. I personally, if we can survive it, and I'm a resilient, well-coached, disciplined team, I would, as knowing where I am now, I would prefer to set them down for a second and let them get right and as close as I can. And then when you're desperate, but I also don't want to put the future in danger. And most players think in the present. Most do. Some may think down the road. But hurt, if you're hurt, I expect you to play. I do. I got a broken finger on your left ring finger. You can tape it up if you're a corner. Let's tape it up and let's go play. If you're injured and you had a compound fracture of your thumb and you can't grip it and you're a quarterback, I can't play you. So there is a difference, and, you know, obviously threshold of pain. You got to be smart, but the depth of a team and the backups and what they're learning while they're not playing and watching is important. I usually lean towards, if you are a guy who is...
Oh, no. He got zapped.
Whoops.
We'll try and get him.
He's on a roll, too.
He was.
It's a really tough dilemma. You can tell him from the player's perspective, you know, that he's seen it done both ways, right? You see people battle through, and you see people that benefit
right.
from sitting out and resting. It's because you have that next challenge coming up. And even though the Texans are 1-8, and they don't look like they're going to beat anybody, we've seen in this league
you
crazy
play
stuff happen. Yeah,
yeah,
you got to play.
And how many times did we hear Barry Trotz over the years? Are you hurt or are you injured?
Yes. He used to say, I wonder if he was talking to Barry Trotz once upon a time. That's exactly.
I mean,
he used that same line.
I will always think of Barry Trotz when I hear that. Are you hurt or are you injured? And there is a difference between the two.
As will I.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah, you know that firsthand.
And I was injured.
Darren was injured.
I think we have him back. We do. Sean Salisbury's back.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but regardless, so at the end of the season, you get a little luxury, right, guys? You say, okay, we can sit you for 2 weeks or IR you, because we've created a position that we are a playoff team battling for, you know, home field advantage and want to win this division. We're still a ways away from that. But you lose early and you're in a chase mode, like if you're the 49ers or you're the Seahawks. Now you say, well, our guy's at 80%, but we can't afford to sit him, right? So I'm more of, create it so you have that luxury, and the Titans are doing that right now. But you know what, guys? I like I said, I don't think this is Memorex. I think this is live. You know, those of you who remember those old commercials, is it live or is it Memorex? I don't think this is fake by the Tennessee Titans. I love this team, and you guys know I come on with you all the time. There's a toughness about them that we just don't give them enough credit for. They fix that defense, and they're headed in the right direction. This is going to be one hell of a run down the stretch.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury, and back to Tannehill for a second, because we've talked about him before, and I know you've been high on him, and I've always said that I think he's capable of winning a Super Bowl with the right pieces around him. You're not expecting him to be Rodgers or Brady or one of these elite guys, but how much do you think he's missed having the true pass-catching tight end, losing Jonnu Smith in the offseason to the Patriots? That's been a position that they have filled, but it hasn't quite been what it has been in the past.
When Jonnu left, I promise you, I said on my show, we were talking about, because in the South, and in the AFC South, and I said, that's going to be a heavy loss, man. I, as a quarterback, you know, we have certain in vogue positions, guys. Like, we love that hybrid edge rusher, right? I can put him left, I can put him right, I can stick him, you know, guys that can move around, that if your best player is there, then I'll move mine over here, that they're so valuable. I believe the tight end nowadays, look at Pitts, what he's going to do for Atlanta over the years, guys. Look what, we've been doing it from Gates. I mean, this has gone for a long time where I can flex you out, I stick you in the slot. I can even run toss sweep with you in the backfield if I have to. I can all these things. I believe it's the biggest mismatch problem in the NFL is that position, tight end. I do. I can create so much trouble for you if I got one. If I got two, you're hosed. If you give me a third one that's decent, then I'm going to destroy you. And the Buccaneers, when they're all healthy, have those abilities. They got three when they're healthy, three of them. So you go big, I'm too fast for you, tight end. You go small, then I'm too physical for you, and I'll just run the ball down your throat. I think Jonnu Smith is a big loss, because we all have a crutch, and most quarterbacks will tell you that crutch, if you got a good one, that's the guy you lean on. He'll win, whether it's George Kittle or whether it's Kelsey. It's a lean on, and you almost get to the point where you lock in because you just know you're so used to winning. I do, and I think that's going to become – guys, I don't want to know if it's an issue, but I think it's going to become a little bit eye-popping as we head towards the postseason. That guy is in cold weather and just a comfort zone and a crutch even when you don't use him, especially if he can block and run option routes and get down the middle and stretch the field and on the pump seam and all those things that we do. I do, and I think it's an underrated loss. And so Tannehill's not Rodgers, but I'm going to tell you something, man. See, here's what we want in the league. We want everybody to be Mahomes, and everybody's not Mahomes, right? You're not throwing for 5,050 touchdowns every year, but you win, and you're efficient, and you have spectacular days, and Tannehill has gotten to the point now where the confidence is no longer, well, what are we going to get from the guy from Miami? It's he belongs, and he knows it. But I'm sure he'd tell you, even though he's on the team running and he believes in the guys he's got, let's be honest, Jonnu Smith was when healthy, a hell of a talent and a good player and can win and run after the catch. That position, you watch as we head down towards the playoffs and the Super Bowl, the team that's got a sufficient amount and a efficient amount and some dominant players at that position that are in the hunt are going to last, because that mismatch is so much. And Jonnu Smith can create that. And take a look in New England. They're getting better all the time. Their football team's getting better. And the production would even be better if you had him. It'd be nice, but you don't. So I would imagine the next step for them as they move forward is find another dominant one. I'm a huge tight end loving guy. I think it's the most valuable mismatch problem outside the quarterback on the offense.
Interesting. Sean, always enjoy the visits. Thanks so much for doing this. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You guys are awesome. Honored to be on. Be easy on them this weekend, guys. Be easy on them, okay?
Mike Vrabel just cringed when he heard you say
that. Yeah, Graves was like, be easy, Sean. You're out of your damn mind. All right, man. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, thanks. He's Sean Salisbury, former quarterback. Always good stuff from him. Sports Talk 790. He does a morning show down there in Houston. We'll come back and do our top 10. How much did it change from 1 week to the next? We'll find out on the other side. But first, I want to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Been going there for years. Michelle and Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, Daphne, and that experienced staff have been taking really good care of me. They've improved my quality of life. They've helped me become healthier and happier. And as we age, that gets tougher. And you know what? But that's a good thing. You want to be healthy and you want to be happy. And that's what's going on with me. Maybe right now you've tacked on some unwanted pounds, which tends to happen as we're adults. And you know what? They've got programs and products and people that can take care of that right away. They can get you back on track, headed in the right direction ASAP. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and that too is difficult as we age. Well, their staff can sit down and talk with you about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Have you ever had your levels checked? Do you realize as you age, they drop? Sometimes they drop to an all-time low, which could affect your drive, could affect your energy, it can affect your mood, and maybe you've been feeling off lately, but you don't know why. Well, you can go in and discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen, with them. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.